much.
I think I know what it could be, but I don't want to sound weird.
It was weird when I came in here.
Legend has it, dreaded video Nomicon is imbued with the most heinous of cinematic evils. Ominous, nostalgic presence lurking beyond our realm, haunting those who watch it. It's been lost for decades, but somehow your dad discovered it. And I'm guessing he sent it my way to make up for those late fees. There's no question now that this is that same cursed tape.
What do you mean, cursed?
Yeah, it's a tape that you should never play. But if you do, bad things happen.
Joining me on Moving Radio today, once again, as we give you the journey of the last video store, as it spreads its cinematic seeds all across the globe. It's circled the globe, and now it's come back to its home province of Alberta. And joining me today, of course, is Kevin Martin. Some would say maybe the star of the film, Tim Rutherford, who is a director and also a writer, Cody Kennedy, who likes to sit behind a computer and also direct at the same time, and of course, the sexy beast himself, Joshua Leonard. Gentlemen, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having us, buddy.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks.
Look, it's exciting. Cody is such a busy man. He can't even talk to us. We just see him. So this doesn't work very well for audio, but if we need to, Josh Leonard is going to interpret everything that Cody types. So,
what does this sound like if I'm talking right now? Is it okay?
Well, see, there you go. It's not bad. Actually, not bad. Cody. Yeah, pretty good.
I was trying. I was talking the same way. You guys kept on just give me space to talk.
Yeah, well, we'll give you space to talk. Don't worry, buddy. Okay, so we're all together, not only just because we like each other, and I'm just excited to be surrounded by you, but the reason that we're talking today is because the last video store has returned to Alberta, more specifically Calgary. Please don't be upset, Edmonton fans. Don't worry, your chance will come again. It's the Calgary Underground Film Festival. It's happening April 19th and 28th at the Globe Cinema in Calgary. But more specifically, the last video store is making its Calgary premiere. And that is happening Saturday, April 20th at 9:45. And these gentlemen will be there. Well, most of them will be there. Or some sort of facsimile of them will be there. And you can buy your tickets at CalgaryUndergroundFilm.org. So, gentlemen, we've talked a lot about this film so far, and I'm definitely not sick of it. I wish we could talk every week about it. But in the last, 8 months, maybe, or 7 months or so, since we last saw you at Northwest Fest, the film has traveled to many different places. So before we get into the evolution of the last video store, because there's some changes that have been made, why don't you tell us a little bit about where it's gone? And you know what? I'm going to start with Cody Kennedy.
So since Northwest Fest, it's played out at a couple other festivals.
Fright Fest in the UK for the Halloween special.
There we go. Yeah. Tim Rutherford comes in, swoops in, and saves Cody Kennedy.
And we're like a single unit anyway, you know, our co-director.
There's some more. I don't remember. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, we played in just north of Madrid in the Airport Fest in Spain. We came down and played a few in France, even had one in Mexico. And we'll play tomorrow in Cleveland. So anybody looking to see that in that part of the world, please do.
That's the interesting thing is that I think sometimes people were just like, you know, you had the single screening here in Edmonton. And of course, Kevin is very good on Facebook about letting people know exactly where the film is going. And that's fantastic. But it's good to hear, I think, for those of us that are maybe uninitiated or don't always see that stuff, that there has been a life beyond just that Canadian premiere at the Metro Cinema. So now that kind of leads us to where you're finally kind of rounding back around to the West Coast again and in Calgary. But as things have gone on, there have been like some developments with the film. So, you know, we're not going to get too much into the nuts and bolts of the plot. We may give that for some of the uninitiated here in a little bit. But tell us a little bit about, you know, how has the film evolved a bit? Because there have been some things that you've been keen on kind of tweaking or adjusting. And finally, that's starting to happen. You know what? I'll go with either Cody or Tim.
So the festival run that we did was a very like rushed version of the film. You know, we just didn't have a lot of time to get it mastered and have some of the like post house kind of like finalize a lot of the work that still needed to be done. So anybody that did see those versions during our initial festival run will have seen that version. And now we have it mastered. As of tomorrow, it should be completely finished. So that's great news for everybody that's been eagerly awaiting the delivery on and the distribution of the last video store. So that's like, you know, right around the corner. There's been a lot of back and forth between the Post House Red Lab in Ontario, as well as the sound master, George Flores, who's been doing an awesome job, you know, elevating a lot of the, you know, like the Prey Stalker scenes and a lot of those like meaty kind of like sound effects are just sounding so crisp and clear. And everybody's voices are, you know, like you get that dialogue pass, and it's just something, you know, we've never experienced before being this like our first feature. So it was really interesting to, you know, see the difference side by side, really, of, you know, what we would have normally called done, you know, before we were obligated to deliver to distributors and stuff. And having seen that process and gone through it now and getting a taste of that master and that like 5.1, it just really like brings the entire film together, and it really like moves those parts that were so, you know, interesting and engaging and kind of overwhelming, if you will. Like we'd said, the movie's a little bit like an ADHD simulator, but now with like the sound and the 5.1, you're really like feeling it in your bones. And that process has, you know, of course, elevated the wonderful soundtrack by Brandon Boucher. So with that finished, we're hoping to have a date to release very, very soon.
I mean, this is the really interesting thing that I think people don't quite understand at this point, that, you know, we always hear about like studio dates where it's like, oh, they had to move it up and things have to happen. And then, of course, you know, the internet goes crazy and bitches about whatever reason for it. For you guys, it's about, you know, we need to get to this festival because there's somebody there is going to see it or whatever the reason is behind that. And the beautiful part is that because this hasn't had some sort of wide release, you are able to kind of like start to tweak it, because you're not going full George Lucas here, right? Like, this is a legitimate being like, we get some eyeballs on it, now we can improve it kind of deal, right?
Yeah, well, this was always in the works from the get-go. It just, because we had to do so much of that work ourselves, and Cody and Matt had just like an impossible task that they somehow managed to find a bag of miracles and make it work. You know, we just didn't have the opportunity to get it into like the mastering stages before September rolled around. And, you know, we've kind of been back and forth with them over the last few months to really finalize the project.
We are speaking today on Moving Radio with all the creative forces. Well, there are many creative forces, but let's talk about the creative core that is behind the last video store. And we're talking about the Calgary premiere that's going to be happening at the Calgary Underground Film Festival, otherwise known as CUFF. And that is going to be happening on Saturday, April 20th at 9:45 p.m. If you are in Calgary, or if you want to take a ride down there, you should do that, because there's going to be a Q&A after with guess who? Kevin, Tim, Cody, and whoever else they can stuff in their suitcase. Maybe even Boucher will be there, right? I think Brandon's gonna be down. All right, cool. So that's amazing too. For Kevin and Josh, do you kind of feel like waiting in the wings to kind of see what happens? It's like the mom and dad of the film are working on it furiously, and you're just a couple of uncles who are just on the sideline waiting for this thing to be old enough and mature enough so that you can take it out to the bar. Do you know what I mean? Like, you, it feels like a couple of uncles are like, I wish a kid would grow up so I could really take him out on the town.
I can't speak for Josh. And thanks for referring to us as the uncles, not the kids of Tim and Cody. That's just weird at this point. Mm-hmm. Grown ass man, damn it.
Well, I mean, the uncles of the film, I almost think, whereas mom and dad are trying to tweak the hell out of this thing. Yeah,
I would be lying. I consider myself a patient human being, but I know the crazy stress and the workload those guys are doing to get the movie to where it needs to be. So I'm just like, I kind of pretend the movie doesn't exist anymore. And besides, I live in the movie every day in the video store, the real video store anyways. So I'm just like, twiddling my thumbs. But although I am really getting sick of answering every second video store customer, when's it going to be on your shelf? And I'm like, I don't know. Get back to me in a year. You know, like, I have no idea. You know, catch it at some festival if you can, or maybe I'll come back to Edmonton down the road when we can do that. But it's as being, you know, an actor in it, it's kind of like there's no instant gratification, right? You're waiting and you want people to see it. Yeah. And that's why this is another exciting event that I'm stoked for. And I can't speak for Josh, but I'm sure he is too, that more people get to see our silly shenanigans on the screen in other parts of the world or even the province. So till then, it's business as usual, baby. Your movies are late and please return them. Thank you. Don't forget to late fees. Josh?
You can always speak for me, baby. You know, it's something that I will always welcome. But as to answer, you know, what's going on is the movie is, it's a process. There's a lot of elements that happen. There's not only the creative aspect, there's a legal part of it. There's a lot of possible outcomes of what needs to happen. But the biggest one is who is interested in it. I don't have any, you know, control in any of that. I too am asked, you know, here, you know, when's it coming to Vancouver? When are we going to play it here? And my answer is, again, ask me in a year, or, you know, we're in the final stages of audio. But the beautiful thing that I can always tell people is that it's done. We did it and we learned a lot from it and we're moving on. I will always treasure the experience that I've gained from it. And the beautiful thing, the most beautiful thing that I found is that we haven't tried to kill each other over it. The friendships are still there. And we learned more about each other as we've become grown adults ourselves.
Yeah.
Uncles.
Well, this is the thing I think that's fascinating about it, so that people just don't quite get. They figure it's just like, you have it, it's done, it's out. And it's a process. So I think that's a really enlightening thing for anybody in our audience who isn't able to wrap their heads around that or hasn't had to experience it themselves in some ways. And maybe if they have, this is one of those conversations where you're like, oh my God, that's exactly what happened to us, right? Throughout the process of trying to like get the film done, make sure you get it the way you want it to. I think that's the best thing about this, is that you're actually going to be able to, when it's done, be like, this is what it was supposed to be. At least within the means that we had, we made it the absolute best that it possibly could be. Even if you go down to Calgary and check out The Last Video Store, it's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a little shinier. It's going to be a little brighter. I believe Tim said you're going to feel it in your bones. It's going to rattle you. It's going to get in. It's going to jump inside of you and take you over.
God.
Well, boy. I mean, maybe. I don't want to speak for anybody, but it definitely has a lot of surprises in it, that what should be just a goofy, fun movie about a bunch of silly friends actually, you know, resonates in the feels a little bit from time to time. So we're glad to have anybody to come down and enjoy it. So
since we're at this point here, where maybe we're getting to the people that haven't maybe seen it, we're going to give you a short primer, right? Back in the day when I didn't want to read books in high school, I would go to Cole's Notes. Now, my students are constantly using the internet and Spark Notes to try to trick me into thinking that they read a book, right? Or saw the film or whatever. So why don't we just give the uninitiated a little bit of the Cole's Notes, the short version, the primer of what they can expect to see on Saturday, April 20th at 9:45 p.m. if they go to Cuff, or maybe even Sunday, April 28th at 3:15 p.m. to see The Last Video Store.
Take it away, Josh.
I guess the only way to really do this is, well, going to have to start from the start. To quote another Viper line in another universe, I guess, that would go from straight to video to now on screen of The Last Video Store. Not Viper themselves previously, but another version of Viper. The Last Video Store really came from a lot of inspiration and love and appreciation for VHS and movies in a developing phase of inspired filmmakers that all grew up renting those movies and skipping classes to make short films. And the really what started was, you know, auditioning for, you know, Tim's play. I'm pretty sure Cody was also trying to audition for it, and he's probably regretted going for it ever since, or maybe not, who knows. All I know is that we've stuck through that drive to continue making those little short movies. And when we keep going to film festivals, that's when the little spark happened. And we really had that drive to try and make a movie. That's when Kevin Martin came into our lives. And, you know, he's been always inspired to make a motion picture himself. And I believe he's made a couple. He just refuses to show anyone. But I've had the honor. But I've had the honor to watch it. And I'll take it to my grave, baby. But
thank you.
It's such a undying love when it comes to, you know, like the presence of being in the lobby. There's no words for it. That's why, like, I'm so baffled. There literally is the most beautiful moment that we were able to capture. And it was even the last time that we were all in Edmonton together, is we were discussing earlier about watching the movie on a, you know, a drop cloth that was projected in the video store itself. And it was something that I knew had to happen. And it was a wonderful moment that we were all just able to share with one another.
I'm glad I forced you to do it.
I was not forced.
Well, you know what I love, Josh, is that I think you gave the most beautifully abstract, concise explanation of how you got to the last video store than either one of these guys would have done. That's for sure. You know what this makes me think of, because you said you started talking like parallel universes of these characters. I'm like, you're kind of right. In many ways, it's been rebooted several times, and and not on purpose, right? So I just want to ask each one of you, and we'll start with Kev. Aside from the film itself, the feature, The Last Video Store, for those of us that have been following the journey, what is like that one moment that you're like either encapsulates the whole experience for you, or is that one memory that kind of really sticks out, even though I know it's tough to pick one, and that it's a small thing, whether it was filming or whether it was one of the screenings as part of Dead Fest, or maybe it was, you know, something that happened even after that. Kev, you go first. Your favorite memory associated with the shorts in the series outside of the actual feature film, The Last Video Store.
My favorite moment with the shorts, we're going to go back to, I guess, 2012. We were filming the Christmas episode, Twas the Night of Tree Beast. And at this point, at that point, like, you're right about the characters being rebooted, because at that point, Josh played an employee at the video store that I could not afford to keep. And he did a terrible job of cleaning the bathroom. But filming the Christmas episode, guerrilla style, just with our buddies, literally we filmed it. We had to switch the ending. We were filming till 2 a.m. It had to be ready to show at the Metro the very following night. So Cody had to take all that, and he worked on it all day. But then I think it played at the Metro. Used to do those monthly make your own movie competition things or whatever. I remember the judges seeing the Christmas one, and they're like, we have nothing bad to say about this. This thing is perfect from start to end, you know? And we're sitting there, and at least I'm thinking, if they only knew the chaos that ensued a couple weeks earlier to get that damn short done, like, it was ridiculous. But that also showed that, like, it was, like, the most magical one of them all that led to maybe the guys deciding, you know what? Instead of doing another one of these monthly ones, let's just hunker down, repaint your entire store, put new lights in, and shoot the last video store short. But I think that moment, the Christmas episode, if you haven't seen it, it's on YouTube, Twas Night of Tree Beast. That was the one that really elevated what could be done in a one location place with your friends, the power of friendship, and very little money. So, and that has never changed, really. So that's my favorite memory. because that really made us believe, or me anyways, that like, I think we got something here, guys. I just got to get grumpier and better at acting as me. But it's Josh that went through the craziest transitions. I still would have liked to have seen that movie where me and him, he was the innocent guy that walks in the store and we go on an adventure together like brothers. But I think how it all evolved to where it is now, it was just meant to be that way. That's one that sticks out for me.
Well, I guess maybe I'll jump ahead. And I think kind of getting, I agree with Kevin. I think that's an amazing moment. And then one of the more recent ones probably would have been kind of getting the band back together after a couple of years to do the Video Store commercial, because we hadn't really done anything for a few years there. Because I think you were in Calgary and I was in Edmonton, Josh was in Edmonton. It was kind of like Kevin got us back together to do a commercial, but we kind of just turned it into a short film. And that those 2 days that we spent just felt like there was no discontinuation of time from the last one. It just kind of, because it was really hard before we had made this web series, and it was a hard, you know, to finish that web series. So kind of getting back into the Video Store basement and kind of shooting something over a weekend with zero money again, and just, you know, Tim was acting in it, our lighting guy was acting in it with Kevin, and then Josh cameoed in there as well. It was, yeah, that feels like that was a great memory, because that also helped kickstart the whole movie journey again.
All right, Josh.
There's always so much pressure because I'm always trying to say something a little bit more refreshing than what I've said before. You know what I mean? Like, I love chatting you with the Zip. I love chatting with everyone. I'm just trying to give the audience a little bit more material and a little bit more understanding about where we come from and how much we really wanted to just make them something that would just entertain. That, you know, you walk in the theater and it's just like, and I quote, you know, you watch a movie in the dark with your friends and you bond with one another, whether you crack a few beers or you have some laughs, hell, even like some people crying. For me, when the first attempt at the original was, you know, really the ups and downs of what we needed to learn, you know, it was the big first attempt, and I really learned a lot more about, you know, certain pressure points, especially when it came to budget. Films are not cheap. And, you know, as much as, you know, you want to make it, put it out to the public, and it's not just money, it's energy, it's food, it's sleep, everything is costed to a certain point that it can drain you. And then there's also like so many moments where you can be absolutely exhausted, and that's where you're the most creative. That's where you come up with the craziest shit. Because you're sleep deprived, or you got, you know, a few shots of alcohol because you're trying to keep that blood running or whatever. I mean, I probably shouldn't say that, but it's just, it sometimes a couple shots of whiskey gets those creative juices flowing. It's that liquid courage, and a lot of people are, you know, afraid to, you know, should I say this? Should I do this? And it's exposure or humility that a lot of people are afraid of. And that's what's really great about this group, is we're not afraid to push an envelope to a point where not offensive. It's not aggressive. I think we have some creative shit, and I really do appreciate it. And I know a lot of people do. And I really hope that everyone who's listening to this does. And if they don't, that's fine too. You're absolutely entitled to that. But the importance is that we make something that was entertaining, and then we could use this as a step into the direction that maybe, hey, the next project we do make for you is a little bit more to your liking, a little bit more entertaining, just a little bit more. This is what really began. So that's what it was for me. That's where it'll kind of stay in my heart.
That was 10 years ago, 2014.
Yeah. The yurt, baby.
Yep,
with Jeremy.
That goddamn yurt. Oh,
that evening.
The smoke and the
VHS tape wall. And, you know, is who is it? Jesse in the snow?
Novak.
Novak.
He had to control the fake fireplace, and we forgot to
Manual
tell him.
Manual flicker.
Yeah, flicker. Flicker on.
Cut.
Yeah. Okay. Lots of memories over the last few years. I would say some of my
absolute favorites were when we were shooting straight to video. And Kevin's like on the couch about to get sucked into the TV. We got a leaf blower going in the video store. And, you know, we must have been trying to get this right for the last like 30, 40 minutes. Finally, bless her soul, our AD, Angela Seagan, was just like, "Hey guys, stop. We're all going to go outside for a breath of fresh air." And I was just like, "No, no, no. Like, it's just a few more and a few more." Of course, it was a gas powered leaf blower, and we, as soon as we stepped outside, all of us were just like oxygen again. Like, oh my god, we were pretty close to being a pretty messy situation for somebody to discover the next morning. Like, but I think that, like, the fact that we aired out the video store, you know, not an easy thing to do in a basement with a set of stairs in the way and a daycare over top. We aired it out, and we went back and we kept shooting and we kept going and we finished it. And, you know, we might have, you know, opted for a little bit of a flag action instead of the leaf blower to kind of finish the scene off. But I think that one stands out to me, not only because it was just one of those moments in the video store of just that, like, eagerness to do something ambitious and kind of you know, maybe punching above our weight a little bit, but then the resolve of our crew and our friends to, you know, go back in to the, like, gassed out video store and keep shooting for hours more, because, you know, like, there was just such a drive to see it up on the screen that will always live in my mind. And Angela's face, as soon as we stepped out, she was so mad at me. We could have never gotten here without her.
Yeah.
Mostly because we'd all be dead in the video store.
Really. Yeah. Yeah. That reminds me, though, Tim, you want to talk about how well this group is there for each other. If one man's down, another man steps up. Straight to video, we're shooting the last segment, the hackers thing, the Johnny Mnemonic thing.
Oh,
Cody's like, "Oh man, I'm tired. I'm just going to go outside. I'll be right back. I'm just going to relax in my vehicle." And I'm pretty sure when I was like, "Where's Cody?" He left. And then Josh is like, "Oh, I got the hungers and I'm grumpy." See, when Josh doesn't eat on set, he gets a little grumpy. We've been there all day. So Josh checked right the fuck out. Pardon me. And Tim had been up since 4 a.m. the next day because he was building the set all day. He never left that Nate set. So I get directed by Brandon Boucher, like, who's the last man standing. He's like, "Well, action, Kev? Yeah, sure, Brandon. Let's just do this because we're the last two standing right now." And it was like 4 a.m. But the point of that story is when one man is down or woman, somebody else steps up, you know, and that's House of Heathens mentality. You know, there's always somebody there, but yeah, it can get messy sometimes, very testy.
In Cody's defense, he was sleeping in the car.
He was sleeping in the car. I thought the car just vanished.
It was nighttime. We were all tired.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a long day.
It speaks to what you've created this decade plus later, which is kind of like, I mean, maybe it's the cherry on top and it's the last part of it. We'll see. I don't know. But I mean, as for right now, you kind of look at it as like, this is the pinnacle for us that we've reached for this. And it's about that next thing. But what I love about the last video store itself, the feature film, is that you can feel how galvanized all those shorts have made all of you. And just the passion is dripping off of every frame of that film, and every moment is filled with something that feels genuine about the passion from yourselves for the project itself and everything around it that you've consumed for decades that influenced it. And that's not an easy thing to achieve either, I don't think, from a lot of the stuff that I watch. You can kind of see why somebody might, you know, make something derivative and maybe they think it's easy to sell, but to actually create something that has a like a literal heart is incredibly difficult to do. And I think that's what makes The Last Video Store transcend a lot of those other films, at least for me. But again, I'm highly biased. So, but I think I'm right.
You could be both.
Most biased does.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's not a question.
My own bias here.
Yeah, that's not a question necessarily. I'm just like, do you? That's what I get from what you say as well, and especially for you, Josh, when you're like, I don't want to talk about moments. Like, I want to talk about, you know, what that feeling is and what it's like to make that and to see it grow as well. I can only imagine how excited you guys are going to be when you're like, now it can truly hit a larger audience, whether it's physical and Kevin is selling them like hotcakes, whether it's VOD, whether it just like spreads like wildfire, or it just becomes this like, you know, deep inside joke that a lot of people have about like a reference that not everyone will get, but that the people that know, they know, like that creates the house grow stronger. The heathens have grown in numbers, right? Like, that's what I can't, I'm, you guys must be chomping at the bit for that.
Oh, I can speak from the video store point of view personally. I am going to set an all-time record for one movie sold at one video store location in the history of North America. Not many of us left. I guarantee you, it's going to be so weird for me whenever this day comes, whenever, when I have to order that movie through the same guys I get all my movies from, and I'll be like, I need like 200 units of this movie to start. Can I get a discount because my face is on it? No? Oh, all right, whatever. I'll just jack up the price $10 and you get an autograph. All right. But no, it's, yeah, no, the video store, the whole purpose of keeping the real store open now is to reach that moment. That is the end of the circle of video store life for the shop. I'm not saying I'm going to close the next day, but just to see, you know, every time a filmmaker that I know, their physical media comes in my store, I take a picture of it and I sent it to them. Today, I actually took a picture of the movie It's a Wonderful Knife, which just arrived today, and I sent it to Tyler McIntyre, and he immediately was like, dude, thank you so much. Because even if he is a successful filmmaker now, a lot of guys are, they are still video store nerds when they were growing up, and I still think they get a kick out of seeing their movie on a video store shelf with a little renty tag on it. So I love sending pictures to directors I know online. Like I did it for Jake West and all those guys, like, and the Turbo Kid guys. And they just get a kick out of it because, like, this generation's filmmakers are probably were raised in video stores in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s. So yeah, it's all about the store and physical media and go VHS God. Yeah. Good things.
I would say, like, I mean, obviously very excited to see that hit the shelves and to, like, come up on VODs, to be able to run into people that I, you know, that have no pretense of knowing have seen my movie is something that I've been eagerly awaiting since I was in high school. And I was like, you know what? I'm probably not going to be an astronaut. Maybe I'll just be a director instead. That's maybe a little bit more realistic for my mindset here. So I think, you know, like that moment of, you know, meeting somebody that is excited about the movie that, you know, I hadn't shown, or, you know, we're not at a film festival, just kind of street passing, I'll know then that they were a deep fan of the video stores themselves and hopefully a fan of my movie. I mean, you know, this could go the exact opposite direction, and I could definitely hear somebody's vocal opinion if they didn't like it. But to the same end, like, just the fact that they watched it will mean the world to me.
And Josh or Cody, if you want to contribute to that, it's up to you.
I was saying, isn't it sweet without the bitter? Just like what Tim said, like, you know, like, we're going to, it's cool for us to experience, you know, like, well, anything anyone makes, they're going to be people that like it and people that don't like it. So for this was the first time for us to be like, okay, you know, here's some people that don't like it. That's fair enough. And here's the people that love it and they love it. And it's kind of cool to make something that either, you know, that you're going to get your good eyes on. Pretty stoked for the wide release. So far, so good.
It kind of makes me think too, when I was, you know, sometimes invested in what reviews would be of some of my own stage work. Our favorite review was in The Sun when we did Cannibal the Musical, and they just raked us over the coals. Like, it was like bomb scare. And I felt like I was like, I just don't want anybody to be indifferent. I'm like, I get it if you don't like it, but if you don't like it, I want you to hate it. Like, I don't think that this film is going to make people feel indifferent. I feel that there's going to be so much passion because, you know, we're not the only ones. But yeah, I don't know that anybody will hate it as much as they hated it. So, I mean, like, show.
our only negative review on Rotten Tomatoes so far did say this is probably going to be like a cult classic. We're like, perfect. At least they kind of saw that, you know, that's cool.
Yeah, I think it was something like they said it wasn't their cup of tea, but they can understand why people might like it.
That's a nice bad review.
It's great.
You guys are screening this film, The Last Video Store. It's the Calgary premiere at the Calgary Underground Film Festival. You can catch it Saturday, April 20th. You know what, people? Just go buy your tickets online, get in the car, and if you only drive like a few blocks to see it, perfect. If you got to drive 3 hours to see it, even better. Because it's going to be a brand spanking new shiny version of the film that you will enjoy even more the second time, I'm sure, friends. And then if you don't catch it then, you can also see it on Sunday, April 28th at 3:15 p.m. Go to CalgaryUndergroundFilm.org to find out more. All right, gentlemen, you have the 9:45 screening on Saturday, April 20th, where you will be in attendance with the film Dream Double Billing. What plays before your film? We'll start with you, Kevin Martin. And this is a real Sophie's choice for you, I understand. But there's only one, Kev. There's only one.
That is so not fair, man.
I'm sorry. I want to make your life difficult, Kevin.
All right. Well, I'll go with the fact that our movie, I think, is... I've been joking the whole way. Like, I hope you laugh a couple times and get some good laughter with it. So I don't want to pick anything serious. So I'm going to stick with the more... lighthearted kind of silliness. I know everybody thinks I'm about to say Return of the Living Dead, and I want to very badly, but I'm gonna switch it up, and I'm gonna say a movie that you would have found in that era video stores. I'm gonna go with the great Tom Atkins and Night of the Creeps. Fun, silly goodness.
I love it. All right, so Tim Rutherford, Kevin Martin has burnt one of his choices. You cannot say Night of the Creeps, but you can say anything else you want. What would play before the last video? I mean,
Battle Bear would be nice, but we haven't quite finished that one yet. But Double Billing, maybe, maybe like Living in Oblivion.
Ooh, good choice.
To kind of bring that, like, that feeling of, you know, what it takes to make a film. And then you watch a very, very much a film about movies themselves. So it's kind of like a, you know, if we open with Living in Oblivion and finish with that, there's a better understanding of the process that brought us to a movie about movies in a movie store.
Yeah, and you have an actor in there who is inadvertently spiritually channeled Kevin Martin.
Yes, absolutely.
Unknowingly.
Yeah, well, he wasn't there for the writing process, but Living in Oblivion was definitely on the thought process for when I was writing Kevin's character.
Fantastic. All right, so we got one option is Night of the Creeps, then we got Living in the Oblivion. What are you gonna go for, Woody Kennedy? What's your choice?
One Cut of the Dead.
Ooh.
It's a bit of a Living in Oblivion feel, but I kind of feel like the scrappy kind of, like, you know, loving homage to making a movie regardless of like the quality of it. Of that film, I think really resonates with, like, you know, what we were celebrating as well. So I think that would be my choice.
Right. And the original, right?
One Cut of the Dead.
There
the
original. We go.
I haven't actually seen it. I didn't know there's a remake. Is there a remake?
Yeah, there's a French remake called Final Cut.
The original One Cut of the Dead. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you've made the right choice. I was like, I know he needs the original. But just in case there's somebody out there that's like, the French one or the Japanese one? I'm like, don't worry. We know where Cody's heart is.
Yes, we definitely do.
And it is Asian cinema, for sure. That's for sure. All right, Josh, you bought yourself a little bit of time. You've been obsessively stroking that Ekholm beard over there. What do you got for us, Joshua Leonard? Playing before the last video store at Calgary Underground Film Fest. If you got to pick it, on Saturday, April 20th at 9:45 p.m. would be?
Oh, God. Just any movie.
I love any movie. That's a good one. Cody Kennedy's given you an answer, and you can read it in the voice of
No.
You like that one? Why would any
movie? I was going to choose Evil Dead 2, but it's just like, that's such an scapegoat, you know? It's just like the go-to, because I'm sure everyone would want to see Evil Dead 2 previous to it, right? Well, something that we watched, you know, continuously almost every weekend, something that we bonded over, something that a lot of people are familiar with that can be enjoyed by most people, and that would be Bloodsport.
God, I remember the Dead Fist screaming. Cody is so excited. I knew it. The comments are going off right now. Cody Kennedy is very stoked. I can't remember. Were all of us there for the Dead Fest screening of that?
Well, Josh definitely was.
Yeah,
he smashed the cake.
We were, because I know, but I couldn't remember if everybody was.
It was Jean Claude's birthday.
Yeah. I just remember Jeremy Kwan was going off. That guy was having the best time ever.
Yes, I remember that. What was that? 2015, 14, 15, something like that. Yeah, crazy.
God, yeah.
And, you know, if I was going to do it, I would have selfishly, for sure, taken Cody's choices in the chat here where he said Evil Dead 2 or Army of Darkness, because they are definitely a touchstone that makes me think about those films when I see your film, The Last Video Store. I don't know if I'd be intense enough to take, like, a really hard left about it. Yeah. So I would have gone for something where I was just like, you know what I want on top of my chocolate? More chocolate. I wouldn't try to get crazy. What do I want after the steak? Give me more steak. So that's why I would have went there immediately. I just would have been super selfish. It would have been the most, self-ingratiating choice ever. I've been like, Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness, and then Last Video Store is my dessert.
Oh, we're the sweet one. That's lovely. I like
it. Yeah. Well, gentlemen, I appreciate all your time. Anytime I get to talk with you is an amazing conversation. I hope that everyone feels like they were just sitting in a room with a bunch of friends. That's what I always try to get out of these interviews, at least. And because that's what it feels like for me. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited for all of you to be able to reunite again, at least, if not partially, mostly, to have Brandon there. Is there anybody else that's going to be popping in for the film on Saturday, April 20th for that 9:45 screening?
The co-writer Josh Roach is joining us. That'll be good to see him again.
I spoke with him last night and he is very excited as well.
And everybody else that's coming is going to be a surprise to us, at least, which is half the fun of it.
Yeah, I mean,
some of my Calgary friends as well.
I remember the Edmonton screening. We had friends of ours that lived in Vancouver didn't even tell us they were coming. They just showed up at the last minute. That was lovely. So who knows? Hopefully it's just people with looking for a fun time, crack a couple beers, and let's go journey back into the video store one more time.
For those of you that listen to the show, you can stop asking Kevin Martin when he's going to have it in the store, because he will definitely tell you when it's going to happen. So don't worry. Be patient. I know it's like Christmas. You want it to come early, but don't worry. It's going to come. The Last Video Store makes its Calgary premiere at the Calgary Underground Film Festival. It'll be playing at the Globe Cinema in Calgary on Saturday, April 20th at 9:45 p.m. And if you can't make it that weekend, it's so good, they're playing it the next weekend, Sunday, April 28th at 3:15 p.m. Gentlemen, thank you all. I appreciate the chat. I appreciate what you've created together. I really hope that it continues as well. It doesn't mean you have to make everything together, but it would be beautiful if just every once in a while, the band get back a little bit together for something. And more importantly, I love you all. Thank you so much for the conversation. That's a genuine, heartfelt thank you, friends, for all of this. And please, God, let this be the last one. I've got at least, this is a 7-part series.
Yeah, all right. Well, just which about part this. Are we on now?
Yeah. Are we two? On part number 32? I mean, as we go. I think we eclipsed 7 a long time ago, my friend.
Yeah, this might be the longest. I may have beat NPR on any long-running murder podcast they have as my dedication to The Last Video Store and The House of Heathens. Can I make a personal request? Not that you have to do this for me, but at some point, I think that you guys should get back into the business, or maybe, it's Employee of the Month. Brian Beaker should be making more House of Heathen shirts.
I think. Yeah, by all means. Yeah.
I feel like
we got to find that logo and get printing again.
You find that logo. We got the print station in the store, so anything is possible.
I would love to see a size.
I mean,
small,
all the video store shirts that I'm wearing are getting worn right out.
Yeah.
I just want to send Josh a size small so he can squeeze his torso right into it. Gentlemen, thank you so much. I really hope that Cody Kennedy is going to have a wonderful dinner. Have a lovely evening. And thank you to anybody who actually clicked to listen.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah. Oh, Kevin, tell them where to go to find you.
I'll be at the Black Dog having a pint of beer. Oh, no, wait. You mean the store, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll see you at both places. No, if you're ever looking for those movies you tell me you can't find, and remember, physical media forever, you can find me at the Lobby DVD Shop, 10815 White Avenue. Look for the creepy video store sign on the sidewalk and come on downstairs. It looks like there's no business left in my building, but I'm still here. Everything else is gone, but the video store still stands.